Welcome to the Uncapped Photographer Podcast, the podcast for established photographers ready to uncap their income and offerings and build the business and life they've dreamed of without the burnout. I'm Krista, a wife, mom, and photographer turned business coach. With 10 years in the industry, I'm sharing the clear and concise actions I took to grow a successful multiple six-figure photography business. Now, I coach photographers how to go from a stuck to sustainable business model. Are you ready to uncap yourself? Let's dive on in. In this episode, we're going to have a conversation about boundaries as a photographer. If you have ever felt like or said to another photographer, these clients just walked all over me, they drugged me through, they asked for so much, like way more than I wanted to give them, I couldn't wait to get them out the door. If you've ever felt like that, or maybe it's just you knowing, Krista, I don't have good boundaries in place. I'm getting texts from clients at midnight. I wake up and my phone's buzzing and clients are texting me. Like, it's just a lot. They're not taking me seriously. I want to address that and give you some easy tips to overcome this, because I had been there too with some of these emotions and some of these experiences. And there's certain key things that we can change that can really alleviate most of this. So let's just start with this. I hope I don't ruffle some feathers in this, but I think I will. I have a really hard time when photographers constantly are complaining about their clients, and it seems like they're always putting out a fire. It seems like something is always blowing up. And the reason is because I think that is actually very avoidable. So I did scale to a very high volume of clients, over 140 a year. So I understand being busy and that as you scale, you are going to have some unhappy customers each year. That's part of running a business, most likely. If you haven't, you probably will. It doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. It's just part of owning a business, right? So what can easily happen is when things blow up, we immediately want to shift blame onto the client and find every reason that they were in the wrong and that we were in the right. But I'm going to start by saying that clients and people in life can only walk over you as much as you let them. So that is a really big part of it. That's why I'm saying a lot of this can be avoided. Some of it, I would even say and argue, might be self-inflicted. And I know that's hard to hear, but these are conversations I've had to have with myself or that I've had to have coaches have with me. Because I personally tend towards wanting to play the victim immediately and say, like, they were in the wrong. Like, they came at me really hard. I'll use the example. I'm not going to give any details away. It'd be impossible to figure out who this is. But there was a gentleman who I had done a session for, presented everything, and at the reveal session, just really came hard at me. And it was really uncomfortable. It felt very aggressive. It felt very uncalled for and inappropriate and left me very shaken up and very rattled. And you better believe, like, I really cried about that. I felt immediately like taking the victim card of like, it's because I was a younger girl than him. He felt like he could do that, or X, Y, and Z. Maybe if my husband had been sitting there with me, he wouldn't have felt as inclined to do that. Like, I do know I shared everything. He was trying to, you know, look good in front of the relative that was sitting there with him, right? That is my immediate go-to reaction of like, I am in the right. He's in the wrong. He walked all over me. This is awful and it's his fault. And I had to talk to my coach about this situation. And instead of her empathizing with me, saying like, oh, Krista, I'm sorry. That would be really hard. Like, I was wanting, because this is a good coach. They shoot it to you straight. She said, great. How can we avoid this happening again? And I was like, what? And when you can take responsibility for what's going on, and instead of playing the victim, you take on the responsibility of what happened, even if you're like, Krista, I really don't think it's my fault that X, Y, and Z happened, still dig into that and take the responsibility. I believe that is what separates a good business owner from a great business owner. I believe that someone constantly playing the victim in business, and I understand maybe there's something really crazy that happened to you in your business. I am not talking about that. I've heard of situations happening where I am by no means saying like take responsibility when it truly was not their fault. Okay, I want you to know I'm talking about smaller unhappy client situations. Okay, so let me make that really clear. I do think there's some instances where this could be different. But with small situations with clients being unhappy, I encourage my students to take that responsibility. And I had a call with one of my students today with something similar. And I said, okay, let's dig into, first of all, why did this happen? And let's learn from that. And how can we avoid it? So I want to encourage you guys, the times that this has happened and I have stopped and instead of played the victim, taken responsibility, and it's happened multiple times in my business, it's helped me grow so much. I think of a few instances in particular where things like this happen, and it allowed me to make changes to avoid this happening again that bettered my business. That couldn't have happened had I not, first of all, taken the responsibility and instead had sat there and played the victim. So the other thing that I want to encourage you to is let's set up boundaries at the forefront to also avoid situations happening that we do feel walked over. So the first thing is, again, clients can only walk over you. People can only walk over you as much as you allow them to. Let's go ahead and unpack this. The first thing that you need to do is take yourself seriously. We talked about taking responsibility, but now let's work on taking ourselves seriously. And what do I mean by that? I want you to act like the CEO of a business. Oh, but Krista, like, it's really not that big of a business. It's just me. That doesn't matter. It's still a business. You're still running a business. And I remember when Caitlin James said to me, I've mentioned this on the podcast before. She said at one of her workshops I attended, people will only take you as seriously as you take yourself. And I'll never forget that, right? If you don't take yourself seriously and open the door where you're like, well, I just want to be everyone's friend, not someone really they're hiring. Like, there's a difference between business and friendship. And I get it can be awkward, it can be hard, but it's part of running a business. You have to push past that uncomfortability. You aren't going to be everyone's friend. Not every single person is going to like you. And I'm saying this because I'm a people pleaser and I really want everyone to like me. So it's hard that I'm not the photographer for everybody, okay? It's hard for me to be get told no. And I see that a lot happening. But if we don't take ourselves seriously, if we have something set up for a client and they want more than the, you know, agreed upon amount or the agreed upon price, if we're not taking ourselves seriously, it can be really easy to start opening those doors, and we're the ones actually opening the doors for them to push past our boundaries. Because the moment they said, can you do it for this much? And we said, sure, maybe I can come down a bit. We literally just told the client, you can bargain with us, right? So then we get really upset when it continues happening over and over again. We're like, this client keeps asking for more and more. And it's like, yeah, but you didn't take yourself seriously. You didn't stick to your prices. You didn't tell them no. I tell my students, clients are allowed to ask questions. Sometimes I hear, hey, a client asked me a question, and it's almost the tone of, I can't believe they would ask that because the answer is no. And it's like, great, you're allowed to tell them no. That's why they're asking. I've had clients truly just want clarification or want to know something and still book. We don't need to like pop immediately into defensive mode as to like why we need to be charging what we're charging and pull up our contract and point to what they're doing. Like, no, like they're just asking and we can answer it for them. But the answer doesn't need to be yes, because we need to have those boundaries in place because we are taking ourselves seriously. So if you don't view yourself as a serious business owner and maybe you don't feel like one yet, do that mindset work. I'm going to encourage you. It takes a lot to run a business. I don't know what the percentage is now of how many businesses shut down after opening. And I don't say that to discourage you, but to encourage you that if you're still doing it, that's amazing. Way to go. You've worked really, really hard for this. Look at like your accomplishments, celebrate them. You're killing it. So take yourself seriously. When someone asks you what you do, be confident. Look them in the eye directly and have an elevator pitch set of, here's what I do. And here's who I do it for. And be really confident in that. Because I used to do this, kind of hang your head and like mumble like, I'm a photographer. And they're like, oh yeah, my 13-year-old neighbor's a photographer, right? Like, that's okay. I need to be confident in what I do. So first of all, we have to take ourselves seriously. And with that, we view ourselves as a CEO, as a business owner, and we make decisions accordingly. And we don't open the door for our boundaries to be pushed because we're taking ourselves really seriously, okay? So let's talk about that. Number two, number one is take yourself seriously. Number two, let's talk about communication. Communication is everything. That's a huge part of it. Most of the time, probably 99% of the time, when something goes south with a photographer, with a client situation, it comes down to communication, okay? So this is huge. And I'm really going to encourage you to keep all business communication to email. Why? Well, we're using that taking yourself seriously part, right? Like, I can't DM the owner of Target and expect them to reply. And I understand we're not Target, but I'm saying like view yourself as an actual high-level business. And that's great to keep communication in one spot. Text can get really confusing. If a client, maybe something comes up and you're like, I don't remember what I told them. And I remember this happening when I was getting started. I was digging up like, what did I tell them pricing? And I'm going through my personal Facebook messages, my business Facebook messages, my DMs, my emails, like frantically looking for like, what did I tell this client? Like how much their session was. And it's better just to keep everything via email. The other thing is, it is still the more standard professional way to communicate. So if I have a student saying, Krista, this client is blowing up my phone, they're asking for all these things, maybe they are keeping their boundaries in telling the client no, but because they're texting them like a friend, not a business owner. So this is a really great way, even if it's a friend, to just move the conversation over to email or your CRM that is connected with your email. A CRM would be like HoneyBook, 17 Hats, Dubsado, something like that, but like connected with your email. This makes it easier for you to look up things and easily find things. And also like legally, where you have everything in writing, that's really huge, right? But also just lets the client know, I take this seriously. Kind of goes back to number one. I take this seriously. This is my business. Let's move all of our business communication over there. This again is also a really great way if it's someone you know personally, just to really keep it where, hey, text is the friend hat, email is the business hat, just to really separate the two. I know, guys, in our day and age that texting and DMing is kind of the go-to, okay? But it gets really tricky. And what I would encourage doing, if this is a hard habit for you to break and you have clients that you've already opened the door to that texting conversation, just let them know like, hey, I want to serve you so well. I have found that I'm missing a lot of texts through the day, and I want to make sure that I have a track of all of our communication so that I can serve you best. Because of that, I'm going to go ahead and reply to this via email and move communication over there. So in that message, I'm telling them like, I'm moving it over here so that I can actually serve you better. I am not saying if a client has a quick question, you can't text them, but you need to decide what that boundary is now. So maybe it's, hey, these questions are fine over text, these aren't. Maybe it's just easier to say everything is via email, but you need to go ahead and decide that, especially guys, if it comes down to pricing and numbers legally, like just really email is going to be the way to go. So communication needs to be via email. Now, the other part of communication is we need to go ahead as well and set those expectations up correctly at the front end. So if we don't really let our clients know our process, what's happening, how to communicate with us, they truly don't know and might think like you want them to text you, but they might think that's helpful to you, right? Because they don't know. So go ahead and make that clear at the get-go. A great way to do this is just like start the conversation in email, right? Like if you're getting DMs, have them fill out a contact form, or I have manually like put people's info into my CRM if they reach out to me another way, because I want all of my clients in my CRM and my HoneyBook. Why? Well, I want a track record of everything we've talked through, everything we've said. I have lots of repeat clients that I want to be able to go back and be like, last year they bought this. And I've had clients do that who say, I want to build upon the frame I bought from you last year. And I'm like, great. Last year you went with this frame, this size. It was this much. I'll keep that price the same. Whatever that looks like. I want to really have a strong written record for y'all in the wedding industry. Also super important, right? Of like, okay, I have down that they added an hour. I want to make sure I know that and don't forget and leave an hour early. Like that would be really bad if at the end of the night, I'm frantically looking through my texts and my DMs. Like, what did I tell them? How much did I tell them? Did I tell them I would do this? Did they actually pay for this? So right from the get-go, make it really clear what your expectations are. Now, we don't want to sound like we are just assuming they're going to bulldoze us, right? And like start the conversation off of like, I will only answer your emails between these hours. You only can email me. Like you don't need to do that, okay? But what I think we could just make it really clear is if you have your boundaries, the moment one is maybe stepped over and maybe they don't know, of just kindly letting them know. If it's a text message, and guys, I'm fine with a text message. If it's the day of a session and they said, hey, Krista, I'm so excited for tonight. I'm torn between these outfits. Which one do I wear tonight? I'm not going to be like, you need to email me that. No, I'm going to help them. Okay. So I'm not talking about that, but main planning communication and stuff I'm having via email. Let's go ahead and move those there. Let's be serious. So then what we can go ahead and do, which is really good, is you can go ahead and on Canva or whatever, create a nice little email signature with a headshot, with links to your social media and your website, as well as your business hours, right? Even if people don't read that, like it's just there. It makes you look professional. It shows like you know what you're doing. If you haven't set up like your Google domain, so your email is through your website. And what I mean, mine is Krista at KristaReneePhotography.com, not at gmail.com. That
also is a step up in professionalism and also helps, I think, with that communication. So what I would also recommend doing is then when you're out of the office, so maybe on weekends, go ahead, turn that vacation responder on. If you're on vacation and it's going to take you a little bit longer to reply, or maybe it's just a really busy season for you and you're like, hey, I'm struggling checking in on email and not as on it as I would like to be, go ahead, just turn a vacation responder on, even if you're not on vacation, that just says, hey, received your email. This is our busiest time of the year. Please give us 48 hours on business days to reply. Make sure you do something like that if you're not checking email every day. So communication via email. Now, when you are communicating with clients, I want you to handle communication as if you're dressed up a bit, not like a hey girl, hey kind of thing like you would text. That's why I also like email is like have that professionalism in your voice. As I got to a higher clientele, I'm going to say with weddings too, I was often communicating with the parents who maybe were lawyers or very successful business people. Like they're going to appreciate that. They're not going to appreciate me using 5 exclamation marks, a bunch of smiley faces, and to have grammar errors and you instead of the word you. Does that make sense? So be professional also like in how you're communicating. If you need help with this, I'm going to be honest. The other day when I was sending a quote to a corporation, I used ChatGPT to just help me like say it in a good way. I was like, I basically want to say this, but I'm struggling to introduce this quote. And that also actually helped me. And then I made it my own, of course. So in how you're communicating, speak professionally as well. So number 3, we've talked about number 1, take yourself seriously. Number 2, communication. Number 3, schedule like your limitations. So when you want to book, when you want to be working, when you're going to be emailing, when you're not going to be emailing or communicating with clients, like what's okay and what's not okay. So what often happens is if a photographer says, Krista, my clients are texting me at 10 p.m. I'm so over this. Okay, well, are you replying? Because if you're replying, you're literally telling them, yeah, you can text me at 10 p.m. and I'll reply, right? And I don't want that to be the case, but like we're the one opening the door for that. First of all, by texting them back at all, we're saying, yeah, you can text me. And then when we're replying. So what I would recommend is obviously we've moved things over to email, but like schedule your limits. If you're replying to emails at 10 p.m., you're telling them you can expect a reply from me at 10 p.m. I would rather schedule a response for 8 a.m. the next morning so that they have it. And I've even done this with my team when I've popped in because I know I won't be in the morning. I'll just schedule messages to get to them like in the morning because that's really something important to me. I don't want people to be getting emails and stuff and communication from me at 10 p.m. because then they're going to expect that. Instead, I'm going to set that expectation at the front end and I'm going to go ahead and schedule those limits. So I also mean when it comes to like my schedule with booking things, right? I'm going to encourage you, you can use an app like Calendly or a scheduler in your CRM to go ahead and put down like when you're going to be shooting and when you're going to be meeting. So for me, I do meetings before and after my sessions. So I'm having a lot of touch points with my clients. So I can go ahead and put down like when are those meeting times I'm going to take. I like to time block. It's something really important we could have a whole separate episode on. But I'm going to go ahead and mark those down and say, great, like these are the meeting spaces I have. And then I'm going to encourage you to have a secondary tier. If none of those can work for a client, like what are you willing to do? So for instance, maybe it's, hey, I really don't want to shoot portrait sessions on weekends. I'm doing a lot of weddings on weekends. So if I'm not doing a wedding, I want to take it off. Okay, great. So maybe Tuesdays and Thursdays, 3 and 6 o'clock are your portrait times. But maybe once a month, we open 2 Saturday morning spots for people who absolutely can't make those work, right? So by doing that, let me walk you through. Client says, hey, Krista, I want a session for the second week of June. So I say, great, I have Tuesday and Thursday, 3 o'clock on Tuesday and 6 o'clock on Thursday. How does that sound? So we go through that. And if they say, I really want to make that work, Krista, but my kid has X, Y, and Z both of those days. Could you do Sunday? Now, does that mean I have to open Sunday? No, because they're asking me, right? And sometimes it's even firmer. Like I have Sunday at 3. How does that sound? And I say, hey, thanks so much for letting me know. While I don't shoot on Sundays, I can get you into a VIP spot the second Saturday of June. I have a 9 a.m. spot, and that is my only Saturday spot for that month. Would love to get you in then. If not, we can look at July. And they say, great, wow, thanks for opening that for me. Sounds awesome. So do you see what I did there, guys? I offer those first spots to them because what we don't want to happen is them to say, hey, Krista, I want to shoot in June. And I say, great, when are you free? I had a service provider do that to me recently to say that. And I was like, okay. So I'd sent like a few times I was free. And she's like, no, I'm not free then. I can do these times. And I'm like, well, if you had started with that, we could have saved some communication, right? Like, I want you to be able to send them, like, I have these spaces and times open. One, that makes it look like you're in demand, even if you're not, but it shows like, hey, I have the schedule. It sets those boundaries ahead of time of like, hey, I'm not just open-ended whenever, wherever, like I have other things, but then it guides the client and makes it easier for them to compare those times with their family. And then if they come back and say, hey, we really can't do that time. Can you do something else? You can have those second tier dates that you can direct them to. I did the same with meetings. I really don't like to take meetings in the evening too much. However, what I have found is with my clients, first of all, job schedules are more flexible than ever, right? So many of my clients are remote. So many can take an hour off during the day to come to a shoot. So I have a really hard time when photographers are like, I'm so tired of doing every session at golden hour, because you don't have to. I built a whole business and really did not shoot a ton at golden hour just because like I know lighting and I want to make it work like any time of the day. Like I'm doing wedding portraits at noon. I can do a portrait session at noon. So for me, I like to schedule through the day and open very few limited evening spots. And when I do have clients that say, hey, I really think I want golden hour, I've actually said like, hey, if you like my feed, really none of those are at golden hour. So if you trust me and you guys are free at 2 o'clock on Monday, like you'll get that look. It'll be nice and glowy still, but it's not at golden hour in the evening. And they're like, oh yeah, sounds good. Okay. So I educate and guide them through it, but I'm not just opening evening spots because I started my business and because I didn't want to work more than another job or later than another job. I don't want to be missing dinner with my family every single evening that I'm shooting. I still take shoots at golden hour, guys. I don't want you to think I'm like never in the evening, but what I did is you can open select spots. Same with meetings. I can open select evening spots for clients who really just can't make during the day work because of X, Y, and Z. Most can, some can't. So for me, it looked like, great, I'm going to open these set evenings each month. And these are my evening hours so that I know, my husband knows, okay, Monday evenings, Krista has to work, right? Right now I do meetings and we have a baby. So I chose a day. My husband's really flexible to watch my baby in the evening. And those are the evenings that I take calls and I open a few spots each week in the evening, but not every day in the evening. So go ahead and schedule your limits ahead of time. Not when inquiries are rolling in, because I've tried that and it gets really hard, but ahead of time, because that's really going to help you with boundaries too. So again, let me share again why it's self-inflicted. When photographers say, I have 5 shoots on Saturday, Krista, I am so stressed. There is so much going on. I'm like, why did you schedule 5 shoots on Saturday if that was your limit, right? And if you wanted to, that's great, but don't complain about it. Like you scheduled them. Maybe you could have pushed one to another Saturday, or maybe you want to take all 5. That's fine, but you can't really complain about it, right? And I'm not always going to like tell someone that, right? I understand we all need to vent to our photographer friends sometimes about things, but if it becomes a regular thing, like you need to reflect and say like, great, what am I doing that's pushing me over the edge? That's making me feel this stress? Is it the people pleasing side? Is it me afraid if I'm going to lose clients? And I'm just going to be really direct with you guys of like, if a client wants to work with me, they're going to make their schedule work to work with me. And part of that is because I am so established in my pricing and what I offer. I'm not racing to the bottom in Facebook groups to be the cheapest photographer. Yeah, those clients, I'm going to shoot you straight, are the ones who are maybe going to push for those things and ghost you if they need to reschedule or something like that. I don't have a reschedule fee or anything like that because I've set the expectation so clearly at the front end and the type of service I offer that my clients respect me for that. And sure, I've had clients have to reschedule because their 1-year-old is super sick. I'm not going to charge them a rescheduling fee when we're supposed to do his 1-year portraits and he's really sick, right? Or that have had like really crazy things come up, like a really big doctor's appointment or something like that. But I know because I remember when I was getting going and charging way too little that for a mini session, I think I had people actually pay when they showed up for the mini session. This is a long time ago, like 8 years ago. Okay. Someone texting me right before like, hey, I decided like I'm not going to do it. That stuff doesn't happen to me anymore because that expectation is so clear at the front end. And so because of that, even though I have that session fee that they pay up front and that holds their spot, it's not a, if you don't have it, then I'm not giving this back. I have very few issues with clients moving things around and not getting things settled and canceling last minute because again, like I've set that expectation so clearly up front and they know my schedule has limits and that they can't just bebop around whenever. So when I have had clients say, I think I need to reschedule, they say it in such a respectful tone. Part of that too is my clientele, right? I want to serve a clientele who really values photos. It's kind of known in the photography industry and reflecting back that when I think over my, you know, 5 to 8+ years in the wedding industry, I'm trying to think of actually how many years it is, but it's been 5+ years in the wedding industry. when I think of which weddings really took the most out of me and required the most effort, it wasn't the highest paying clients. And I am not saying that at all to put down lower paying clients by any means. I am so grateful that I had clients who believed in me and trusted in me when I was just getting going, and that who, even though I wasn't charging a ton, and maybe they had a smaller budget, that they put that money towards me and they knew I was growing. They knew I was getting going. So I want you to know, like, I'm not sitting here bashing low paying clients, because I'm just going to shoot you straight, guys. Like, my, those first clients have such a special place in my heart. But when I think of which weddings and things required the most work, it was the lesser paying ones. It was not the higher paying ones. Same with portrait sessions. Okay. Portrait session specifically comes to mind. With so much work, so much ask and photoshopping, just all of these additions they wanted, so much so when they asked to book me again, I let them know, like, I wouldn't be available to do this next shoot for them. That I don't know if I've ever done that before. So that's different than clients really paying a lot. And my clients paying a lot, it's not that they're less picky by any means. We just have a mutual expectation, and I have improved my service to really make sure I'm checking all of their boxes. It's a two-way street. So I know on Instagram and things, it's kind of viral of, like, you know, low paying clients ask for more than high paying clients. And I don't like that at all, that we're pinning it kind of on the client and what they're paying. But it needs to be a reflection back of, like, what are your offerings at? So for me, yes, some of those low paying clients, like, it was a lot of work and made me really busy doing things for a lesser amount. But part of my growth was serving my clients better and being more able to take that responsibility when something went wrong, and to be able to check off those boxes that maybe I had been missing before, along with attracting maybe a higher paying clientele who did show more trust in me because they were paying more. So they weren't as anxious if all their needs were getting met because it was a big investment and they knew, like, hey, I'm paying a lot, but, like, she's going to take care of me through it all. Like, I know my products are going to be quality. I know that she's going to capture, like, what I need captured because she has X, Y, and Z touch point. Things that I wasn't doing before when I was charging less. So it's definitely a two-way street. It's not just the clientele. It's you as the photographer and what you're offering to be able to attract a clientele that trusts you and that knows what they're going to be able to get. So with that, what I teach photographers how to do is to be able to have full service offerings. So I have had students have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I had a student last fall have an $8,000 sale from a family session. And what we do, it's not, oh my gosh, how much can I get my client to pay? No, it's just continuing to serve them and to say, hey, let me help you through this process. Let's start here. If you want more images, I have the space, I have the bandwidth to make sure that those are master retouched. And that way, if a client does, I shoot on the beach a lot. If a client does need hairs or, you know, maybe some sweat from humidity, like, I would want that fixed on my photos if I was paying a lot. I'm able to have the bandwidth to take care of that for them and make sure they're perfect. And if there's people in the background, if they want the people out, it's not me getting frustrated at them because they want people photoshopped out of the background of their beach portraits, which to me, like, I wouldn't want people in the back of my beach portraits with my family. It's great. I'm able to offer this service level because I'm charging this amount to ensure that these are perfect for you. And I'm not frustrated with them. I'm actually happy to serve them. So, number one, take yourself seriously. Number two, communication. Number three, schedule limits. And number four, build a business model that serves clients well. Again, think this is something really, just really important on my heart. And again, that I'm seeing just missed so, so much on people's social media rants about low-paying clients. And sure, client situations can be really frustrating. If you scale to any heights, you're going to have frustrating client situations, no matter what business you do, no matter if you're a photographer, no matter what type of business owner you are. But that's why it's really important to make sure that you're actually serving your clients really well, okay? That's how my students are able to have these big sales. I've seen it both ways. I've seen photographers bash clients, and I've seen people bash photographers for what they're charging. And it brings up, like, a lot of thoughts for me. But basically, there are people who will pay high prices, but the level of service needs to come with that. And I'm not saying you need to be, like, available for that client at a drop of a hat 24/7, but you need to be able to serve them well. And that's where those referral comes in, where they say, hey, Krista's pricey. Like, and I actually remember a bride saying this. She's like, I told my coworker, she's expensive, she's going to take care of you though. Like, you're going to be in great hands. And that's what I want of like, yes, it's going to be an investment to work with her, but you're really going to value this. And I want my clients to value this. I don't want it to just be like a quick little shoot they forget about on the cloud. I want this to be memorable. I want them to remember how I helped them. And I think back to my daughter's newborn photos. I actually hired one of my past students who actually charges more than I do because I teach my students how to price themselves in a way that works best for themselves and their clients. And for her to leave the house and leave the kids, she needed to start higher than what I was doing. To her, that was more worth it. And so I remember telling my husband that, like, hey, just, you know, she's more expensive than I am. And I loved that experience with her, how she took care of me and helped me, how she took care of my baby, how she was sufficient, like proficient in her lighting techniques. It was actually a really dark, gloomy, rainy day. And you better believe this was a really, really special, important shoot to me. Like, this was something super important to me to have my daughter's newborn photos, my first baby's newborn photos. For years, I've been doing this for clients, right? And saying like, this is the most special shoot you will ever have. And then it was like my turn. I valued this time so much. I wanted to be as prepared as possible. I wanted to be taken care of. I was ready to invest in products after because I didn't want these images to sit on the cloud. I have this beautiful linen pink album that sits like on an entryway table that has her newborns in it. And like, we love flipping through it because she's 5 months old, but has already changed so much from those first months. Like, it's crazy, right? And so by building a business model that's sustainable, you can actually attract better clients. Now, am I saying that none of these high paying clients ever pushed boundaries? No, I'm not saying that at all. I would say less have than when I was charging less and doing less of a service. But as my service level increased, I was able to serve more, which just led to that better service level where I'm not missing beats. They're not having to ask certain questions because like I'm so on top of it and being able to serve them so well with my process. Let's review everything again. Number one, take yourself seriously. Number two, communication. Number three, schedule your limits. And number four, build a sustainable business model that serves really well.
Thank you again for joining us for the Uncapped Photographer Podcast. If you loved this episode, be sure to subscribe. Want to connect further? Give us a follow on Instagram @Krista_Renee. See you next time.